Chapter 3, while you're turning there, turn also to Colossians chapter 3. Hold your place in James. We'll be there momentarily. So we continue on about taming the tongue, or the untamable tongue. Both are correct. It is untamable by man, but it's something that needs to be tamed. And so, anybody's parents ever told them something like this? If you say that again, I'll wash your mouth out with soap. Oh, fudge. We definitely need more of that kind of discipline in our homes. Unfortunately, we have elementary school kids, young kids, kindergarten kids, saying the F word all the time, cussing their teachers out. My goodness. Parents used to be very concerned about what come out of their kids' mouths. And so we should have the same type of concern for our mouths as well. Matter of fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37, he said, "But I say to you that every idle word, every useless word that men may speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words, ouch, you'll be condemned." And so the tongue provides evidence of what's in the heart. The tongue provides evidence of who you are. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, you're a new creature in Christ. You're somebody different now. You should be. If you have the new birth, if you have been born again, like Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 3. You have to be born again, born of the Spirit. And if you are, if you're a new creature, if you're born again, then there's all kinds of new stuff. You have new desires. You should have new actions. And also, you should have a new speech. And that's where we're at today. So Christians should talk differently. Listen, you're not going to talk perfectly, but you should talk differently, most assuredly. Now, in Colossians chapter 3, let's look at there. Paul says in verse 1 to 3, "If then you were raised with Christ," or "since you're raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you're dead. You died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Because you're a new creature in Christ, because your life is now hidden with Christ in God, you got to put to death the old stuff. You got to put to death the old life. You're not that guy anymore. You're a new guy." Then he goes on to say, look there in verse 5 through 7. "Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked and when you lived in them." Now, you're a new creature in Christ. You should have a new approach to life. You should have anyway. You should have a new transformed behavior. And then he goes on to say in verse 8 to 10, look there. "But now, you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Don't lie to one another, since you put off the old man with his deeds, and you have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." This new behavior, this new life, this new creature has a new speech, or should have a new speech. Now there Paul says you're to put off these things. That phrase "put off" literally comes from the Greek, is to take off the clothes. It has the idea of clothing. And when he says put off, it means to take off the clothing. You're to take off the clothing of anger and wrath and malice and all those things. And so when we are declared righteous, this is a beautiful picture right here. Righteousness. What is righteousness? Literally, it means rightly clothed. And it's a beautiful picture because when we accept Jesus Christ, we are now rightly clothed. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Amen? I hope you're clothed rightly. Because when we accept Jesus, he takes his righteous robe and he puts it on us. So isn't it amazing when the enemy comes before God and says, what about your miserable creep sinner Dan Zediker? Oh yeah, that's your servant. And God looks back here and goes, I don't see Dan. All I see is my son. Because I'm clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Is that not awesome? So here's the idea. If you are clothed in Jesus' righteousness, why in the world would you get in the trash and get out those muddy, dirty, greasy clothes and put those over top of your white robes? That's the idea Paul's saying. Why in the world would you get in the trash and get that old life, that old stuff, and put that stuff on over top of your beautiful white robe of righteousness? That's stupid. Here's the idea. The principle is this. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, in the NLT puts it this way. Your boasting about this is terrible. Don't you realize that this sin is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough? You know the King James, a little bit of leaven, leaven's the whole lump, and all that stuff. So it goes through the entire lump. Now, anybody have a bowl full of apples and not realize one of them is rotten? What happens to that one rotten apple? Makes it miserable for your wife trying to make an apple pie. I know. You like those too. One rotten apple corrupts the entire bowl. You can have one rotten apple in a barrel of apples, and the entire barrel will be rotten over time if you don't get that one rotten one out. Now, in the Roman days, the persecution, the punishment was usually crucifixion. We understand that. We know that. But they had many other types of punishment. And one of them was this. Not all the areas had it. Very few. But one area was this. If you murdered someone, they would take that murdered person, that dead body, and they would put it on the murderer. They would strip him naked, and they would strap the dead body onto the murderer who killed him. And they would tie it around him, and that was his punishment. And as that dead, rotting corpse and that flesh would begin to rot, it would rot the good person. It would rot the good flesh. And that's actually how the guy would die. And so that rotting corpse would rot the good, well, he's not good, he's a murderer, but it would rot his flesh. And that's exactly how he would die. And so the Romans, they loved to punish people. And so that was one of the ways that they punished. And so here's the idea. Paul says, you are not an old guy and a new guy. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anybody is in Christ, you're a new creature. You are just a new creature. You're not a new creature and an old creature. You're just a new creature. The old guy, as Paul says in Colossians 3, verse 1, is dead with Christ. Remember when Jesus died? Guess what? When you accept Jesus, it's as if you died with him. So you're dead. Your old lifestyle, your old personality, all your old ideas are dead. Now you have a new life in Jesus Christ. So here's the idea. If you want to get back in that trash and you want to put the old guy back on, you're going to corrupt your good flesh. And it'll corrupt your entire body. How do you keep from doing that? How do you keep from getting corrupted? Well, listen to what Paul says in Colossians 3, verse 16. The NLT puts it lovely. It says it this way. Let the message about Christ, let the gospel of Christ, let the word of Christ in all of its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom that he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Now, if we actually had the Zediker Living Translation or the paraphrase, it would probably say something like this. Let God's word saturate your lives so much that you begin to live God's word out in your life in all of his wisdom. And then go and teach others to have their lives saturated with God's word so they can live in God's wisdom. And when you do that, you'll be singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs and just giving thanks to God for everything that comes your way. That would be lovely. Now, James is a book of tests. Test your faith. And the tongue is no different. And so we've come to test to see where our tongue is. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the tongue has the potential to condemn you in a greater sense. The tongue has the potential to control you. Not only you, but other people. And so let's get into our text this morning. Go to James chapter 3. And we'll get into what he has to say for us. James chapter 3, verse 5, second half through 8. James writes, "See how great a forest a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, a reptile, creature of the sea, it's tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." Tom Craft, would you open us up in a word of prayer, please? Amen. Thank you. All right, let's get into some more aspects about the tongue here. Number one, it's dangerous to corrupt. Number one, it's dangerous to corrupt. Look there at verse 5 and 6. James says, "See how great a forest a little fire kindles." James says, be careful because your tongue is very dangerous and it can corrupt you very quickly. It's very destructive. It says, see how great a forest a little fire kindles. You ever seen old Sam Elliott, who used to be the voice for Smokey the Bear?
Only you can prevent forest fires.
I need Tom. Tom's got the deep bass voice. But you remember that, right? I used to see the commercial. What'd they flick out the window? Dadgum smokers. Little cigarette butt, a little match. How great a little teeny spark can start a huge fire. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of acres of ground can be burned up by just a little spark. Look at California. We see California burn up every year. Hundreds of thousands of acres and homes and massive destruction, all from a little spark. All from a little spark. So fire has the capacity to multiply. This is amazing. Fire has the capacity to multiply. Water does not. If you took a little bottle of water, and let's say you poured it out in the desert, it's not going to create a flood. Unless, of course, you live in Ohio. You can pour out water all day and it'll never multiply. You can take a little spark and it'll destroy everything. It's amazing. Fire is amazing and it has huge capacity. Matter of fact, in Judges chapter 15, Samson, when he got mad at the Philistines, he took some foxes and he tied them tail to tail and put torches on them and let them run free. And they destroyed all of the crops, all of the grains, all of the olive groves, everything. Destroyed all the Philistines' crops. It's amazing. Little fire. Now, you may remember this, and of course, I got this off the internet, so my version's true. But in Chicago, October 8th, 1871, and there's a guy out there that likes to fact check me, and he's on his phone right now. I won't point Tom Craft out, but that's all right. Back in... I'll take him out and discipline him. Matt, take care of my light work. In 1871 in Chicago, It was supposedly started because Mrs. O'Leary was in the barn and she was milking her cow, and the cow kicked over the lantern, and the lantern started to fire, blah, blah, blah. The true story is she was upstairs sleeping, so she wasn't actually out there. So whether it was a spark that flew in from somewhere or it was actually somebody actually started that fire in her barn, that's where it started, was in her barn, but nobody knows. But here's the thing. That fire that started in Mrs. O'Leary's barn didn't take long, and it burnt 17,500 buildings to the ground. 300 people were burnt to death. 125,000 people were homeless. And in 1871, back in that day, it's that amount of money worth in that day, $400 million worth of damage. Back in the 1800s, that's a lot of money. Just by one little spark. One little spark. James says in verse 5, see how great a forest a little fire kindles. And then he goes on in verse 6 and he says, and the tongue is a what? The tongue's a fire. Our tongue is a fire. It destroys. Matter of fact, Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 27, he said, an ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. Proverbs 26, verse 21 says this, as charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. And that word kindle there is burn up. It just simply means to burn up. Our mouths run pretty reckless, don't they? And they can destroy. They can destroy. Matter of fact, Psalm 52, 2 says this, your tongue devises destruction, like a sharp razor working deceit. Oh, my goodness. So James says, your tongue is destructive and it can corrupt your whole body. One apple can ruin an entire barrel if it's rotten. Somebody's rotting flesh can destroy your good flesh. And so James says, your tongue is dangerous and it needs to be controlled because it has the power to corrupt you. Number two, it's humanly untamable. Look what he says in verse 7 to 8. For every kind of beast, a bird, a reptile, a creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. We tame animals. I mean, Genesis chapter 7, all the way back there, God said, take seven of every animal. Yes, seven, not two, seven. God said, take seven of every clean animal, only two of the unclean. And so our story in our head is always two by two, they all come through, yeah, but it's seven. So Noah, he took care of the animals. He controlled them. Seven, unclean, two, seven clean, two of the unclean, seven of the birds. And all that stuff. And so, man, from the beginning, God told man to rule over animals. And so man has been doing that. Man has been dominating them from the beginning, even today. And James says, every beast, bird, reptile, creature, everything is tamed by man. Look at this next one. This is a beautiful one. This is a beast. The one on the right. The one on the right is the beast. We have tamed bears. We have tamed bears so that we can wrestle with them. And that I would love to see. If there is anybody that knows of a bear that wrestles people, please let me. I will pay for it out of my own pocket. I would love to see him get tossed around by a huge bear. I mean, just to see how strong he really is. But that would be just awesome. I would pay. Man, I'm serious. Anyway, we tame animals. We tame animals. We even tame sea creatures. Now look at this. I don't know that this is actually something I'd want to do, but that woman actually swims with great white sharks, and she's not dead yet. I've seen some of her videos, and the guy's in the cage, and you can see the bars going by him as he's following her, and she's outside of the cage swimming with 10, 12, 15-foot great white sharks. Now, the ones that we tame, they're the sea lions, they're the, you know, Shamu at SeaWorld. Those are the ones we tame. I don't think we've tamed the great white shark. But we tame sea creatures. We tame them. Matter of fact, anybody been to the circus? We tame, you know, lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. We tame all kinds of animals. We tame all kinds of animals. Matter of fact, we even tame birds. This is amazing. Carrier pigeons. This is great because I was talking to Matt, and he's bounces his ideas off and his teachings, and we're going back and forth. And I was like, yeah, man, we're talking about we tame every beast, and here's one, and we tame birds, and yeah, carrier pigeons. And he goes, well, how do they know how to come back? And I go, I don't know. So he looked it up, and so I'm taking his information because it's my message. So what he found out was this. They only have a one-way trip. They only know how to come home. Wherever the home is, that's the only place they know how to come to. So what they would do is they would take them out into battle. And if something was happened, they would write down, you know, hey, we need help, send more troops, I'm the only one left, you know, don't bother, I'm about to die, whatever. And they'd roll it up, give it to the bird, and it would know because it could fly home. It only knew the home trip. And do you know that we've been using carrier pigeons since the 40s? World War II, we even used them. We had awesome technology in 42, but we're still using carrier pigeons. That's amazing, amazing. Now, they don't know how they know how to go back home. That's one of the conundrums. That's a good thing for a creative design. Only some kind of creator can put that into a bird to know how to get there. They don't have GPS. They don't have a tracker. They don't have, every time they get close, they don't hear a little beep, and it starts to get, you know, faster and faster. It's amazing. We tame animals. We even tame reptiles. I used to have an iguana. It was, I don't know about them snakes, man. Those snake charmers, that's, I used to have a blue iguana. It was about 5.5 feet long. I had to have it in a ferret cage because it was huge. Man, it was awesome. I didn't have it tamed. I mean, I couldn't even get close to it or rip your flesh off. But anyway, it wouldn't let me feed it, so I think I died of starvation. But we take reptiles and we train them. People try to stick their heads in alligators' mouths and all this stuff, and we think we've tamed. We tame every creature known to man. And James says this, no man can tame the tongue. Verse 7 and 8. No man can tame the tongue. We tame sharks and bears and snakes and lions and tigers and bears. We tame all these creatures that are wild by nature. And you can't tame your tongue. That's amazing. Every creature, beast, bird, reptile is tamed. Tamed by man. But no man can tame his tongue. It's an unruly evil. Which means that it's ready to break out. It means it doesn't want to be restrained. Your parents ever tell you, hold your tongue? People are, that's the tongue. It just wants to come out. It just wants to lash out at you, you know? Somebody visiting in Ohio and goes, wow, Ohio's pretty wet and cold in the summertime. Maybe, well, then go back to Florida, move to the desert where it's hot and you got no water, you miserable complaining creep. It's like, whoa, hey, you know, settle down. That's all you want to do is your tongue just wants to lash out. Somebody says something and you just, ah. You just want to pounce, you know, like a snake. You just want to, oh. That's exactly what it is. Because that's what he says in verse 8. He says it's full of deadly poison. It's unruly. It wants to lash out, and it's full of deadly poison, like a snake. Paul says in Romans 3:13, the poison of asps is under their lips. Psalm chapter 140, verse 3, the psalmist writes, they sharpen their tongues like a serpent. The poison of asps is under their lips. Selah. And so asps are just nothing than a poisonous snake. That's all it is, a poisonous snake. Basically, your tongue is an assassin. Remember we said you have a carry conceal weapon in your mouth, and it's your tongue, because it can destroy, absolutely destroy. Matter of fact, Haman, if you know the story in the book of Esther, Haman, boy, he talked lies with his mouth, and he almost had the entire race of Jews wiped out. Because King Xerxes, he was getting ready to do it. Matter of fact, Haman even had gallows set up for Mordecai and all of the Jews. It was going to have them all hung there. But the doctrine of you reap what you sow. And those gallows he hung on. And so the tongue can be very, very destructive. The Pharisees, they said that John the Baptist had a demon in him. And eventually, Herod's mouth got him in trouble. Because his niece was dancing for him, you know. And, ooh, hey, look at me. And he goes, I'll give you whatever you want. Ah. She goes, I want the head of John the Baptist on a platter. He goes, oh, did I say that out loud? And then he gave it to her. The Pharisees, what do? They lied about Jesus. They had false witnesses bear witness against him to get him crucified. Literally, it cost him his life. Matter of fact, Paul, he had people try to stone him because somebody lied and said that he took some Gentiles over the little wall of separation, but he didn't. And so they just couldn't stand him, so they tried to have him. They arrested him and took him to the Colosseum and was getting ready to have him stoned. It's amazing. Let me close with this. The Bible says the tongue has to be controlled. You have to control your tongue. Because it has the potential to condemn you in a greater sense. Because it has the power to control you. Not only you, but others. It's dangerous to corrupt your entire body. And it fights against you because it's humanly untamable. Proverbs 26, verse 20 says, where there's no wood, fire goes out. That's simple. That's like common knowledge. And where there's no talebearer, strife ceases. It's talking about a gossip. But here's the point. If you stop feeding your tongue fuel, you'll stop the fire. Now, we can't do this on our own. He says that it's humanly untamable, but the tongue can be tamed. We can't do it on our own. We got to be filled with the Spirit, as Paul says in Ephesians 5:18. And only then can God do it through us. And James says that we should not only be characterized by what we do with our actions, but a Christian should also be characterized by what he says. Don't get in that trash and get that old filthy speech out. Don't get in the trash and put on the old guy. It'll corrupt the new guy. That's all you are, is a new guy. You're not a new guy and an old guy. You're just a new guy. So don't get in the trash and corrupt the new guy. Paul says in Ephesians 4, verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And he says earlier in verse 22, you're to put off concerning your former conduct. That former conduct is dead. When you accepted Jesus, that old man is dead with Jesus. And you're a new creature. And you should be seeking things that are above. So put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt. Like an apple that corrupts all the other good ones. If you allow to put the old guy on, it's going to grow corrupt the new guy, according to deceitful lusts. Have you left the old guy in the trash, or do you continually pull him out and it's corrupting the good guy? You are a new creature. You're a new guy. And that guy is characterized by holy, good, edifying, built up in love speech. And so here's the question. What does your tongue say about who you are? Let's pray. Father, thank you for our day. Thank you for our time. Thank you for this beautiful weather. Lord, may we reflect on your principles. We're to test. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, we're to test ourselves, try ourselves, examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith. Do we have evidence to proclaim that we are your child? Or are we displaying the old life, the old nature, the old self? Are we pulling the old guy out and putting him on, and that's what the world sees? Lord, may we examine ourselves. And if someone's here this morning, Lord, may they examine themselves and say, you know what? I've never become a new creature in Christ. I don't even know what that means. I don't even know what saved means. I've never accepted Christ. Lord, let today be that day of salvation. And so, as we just give you this invitation, and we say, Father, have your way. Just have your way, Lord. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me? Head bowed.